looked about one morning, and through a misty sky, I gazed upon a battlefield. Mankind was passing by. I saw how evil and despair held them in a trance. And as they called for me to join, I shouted, "Not a chance. One of these days, one of these days, one of these days I'm going home. One of these days, trouble will soon be past. There will be peace at last. One of these days I'm going home. One of these days. I know the world is reeling. There's trouble everywhere. My heart goes out to everyone beset by fear and care. For Christ the Lord himself hath said, those who will prepare may sit with him in paradise and in his glory share. One of these days, one of these days, one of these days I'm going home. One of these days, troubles will soon be past. There will be peace at last. One of these days I'm going home. One of these days. I may not live in comfort, but this I surely know, I'll be content with what I have while waiting here below. For I can see the golden streets inside the eastern gate. My spacious mansion is complete. I can hardly wait. One of these days, one of these days, one of these days I'm going home. One of these days, trouble will soon be past. There will be peace at last. One of these days I'm going home. One of these
day. Titus chapter 2. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, Encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. This is the word of the Lord. In council this year, we have been talking about what some of our next steps might be, and one of the next steps that we've been working on is revising our vision statement. It's been over a decade since we've looked at our vision statement, and we decided that it was time to revisit it. We weren't looking to completely redo it, so we put together a thoughtful revision. We shared that with the Scrappy Church folks at our last meeting, and we affirmed that new vision statement at our last meeting. And I'm going to read it to you, and my hope is that over time, this starts to soak in for all of us in such a way that when somebody asks you, what is First Reformed all about, you'll have this in mind. You can say, oh, this is what we're about. This is who we are. And this is what it is. It's making disciples by seeking God and serving others. Shouldn't be too hard for us to memorize. Making disciples by seeking God and serving others. We're going to put some focus on that over the next while. Because we want to be a church who's making disciples by seeking God and serving others. This is who we are. This is our calling here, where we are on this hill and in our communities. Over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to talk about a different aspect of this vision statement. And today's focus is going to be on the first part, making disciples. And of course, we're going to be looking at making disciples in a biblical, in a healthy way. And as we can glean from what we've just read, we want to do that all ages, multi-generational church. Here in our text today, and we'll find this throughout all of Scripture, that a church of all ages is the expectation for a church centered in Jesus. All ages. And today, it was really highlighted for us that all of us are needed. All of us are needed in the body of Christ. And I also believe that all of us, no matter our position in life or our age, all of us has something to offer. In fact, this letter, the writer is Paul, and he's writing to Titus. At this point, Paul, he is in the older crowd, and he's teaching the younger pastor Titus how this whole New Testament church is going to go, what the character of a New Testament church will look like, so that it'll be successful in making disciples by seeking God and serving others. Verse 1, Paul, the older Paul, tells the younger pastor Titus that they must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. The picture here is that the true Word of God is taught, and the true Word of God is then also put into action. And if you want to write this down, I could go over four L's of discipleship. Four L's of discipleship. I'll give you a second if you want to grab a pencil and write this down. The first L would be listening to Jesus. Listening to Jesus. So this is having open ears to hear what the Word has to say. That's an important step in discipleship, having open ears. So number one, listening to Jesus. Number two is learning from Jesus. Learning from Jesus. So you're not only listening to Jesus, but you're also learning from Jesus. You know, we can hear all kinds of stuff, but it can go in one ear and right out the other. What needs to happen is we need to actually learn from Jesus, that it doesn't just go through here and go out the other side, but that it goes down into our hearts so that we soak it in, the Word of God. So listening to Jesus, learning from Jesus. Number three is living by Jesus. Living by Jesus. So we hear the Word. We learn sound doctrine. It goes into our ears. It soaks down into our bones. And we're so, I don't know if infected is a good word, but it's soaked in so deep that we can't help but to live it out. And this would be number three, living by Jesus. Living by that Word. So listening to Jesus, learning from Jesus, living by Jesus. And then the fourth one is an important step in discipleship, leading others. Leading others. This is letting people know about the life-saving good news of Jesus, that He is Savior and that He has saved us from our sins. This is teaching others what we know to be true deep down in our bones and what we're living out for real. This calling is for all of us, for every believer. This calling is for older men. This calling is for older women. This calling is for the younger women. And this is for the younger men. And this is for whatever position we find ourselves in life, whether slave or free. Now, in the text, we have some different prescriptions or particular things that are highlighted for each of the different groups that are mentioned. Some different particular things. And, of course, when it comes to these particular things, they could be applied in one way or another to all of us. But for Paul, he wanted to highlight particular things that can trip up particular groups. So we're going to consider those today. How do we respond? How do we respond to God in our lives? That the incredible power of the Holy Spirit working in us, how do we respond to that? That's what he's after here. And he highlights the particulars for each one of the different groups that he brought up. And Paul starts with the older groups. He talks with the older groups first. And he does this on purpose. Everything written in the Word of God is done on purpose. So the older groups mentioned first. I believe that if a church is going to be strong and healthy, a critical component is older, mature believers. Now, we could be older, but not mature. That doesn't do us any good. We need older, mature believers. We're talking about strength and stability and wisdom. Older generations who are walking in righteousness with the Lord and who walk the walk and lead the way. It's an important component in the church because the older generation are called to be the mentors and models of the faith for the younger. That's what Paul's doing with Titus. Paul's an older, Titus is a younger. Paul is taking an active interest in Titus. He is seeking him out and being available and approachable for him. It's an important component in the church. Maybe if you're in the older crowd, we'll think about who might be in the older group, who might be in the younger group, but a practical step for us to think about is, are you currently mentoring anyone right now? Who are you modeling the faith for right now? Maybe you think to yourself, and you're like, I don't know if I really have anybody in my life that I'm mentoring and modeling the faith for at this moment in my life. My invitation for you is to make it part of your daily prayers. Put that in with the rest of your daily prayers. Lord, if it be your will, send me someone that I am to approach, that I am to actively walk alongside in the faith, that I'm to help show the way to Jesus with. We can pray for that. We can put it on our prayer list. That's something that was on my prayer list over the last 2 years, and I've seen fruit now come out of that. It's God works, and he'll work in your life too. So put that on your prayer list. Who are you called to mentor and model the faith to? Now, who is in the older? Who is in the older category? Some different commentators would say that it might be 60 years old and above. 60 and above. Others might say, well, depending on how life is going for this particular individual, it could be 50 years old and above. Or it could be somebody in their 50s and above. So that gives you an idea of who might be in the older category. Now, what about the younger category? The younger category, we could just reverse that, right? It could be people that are below 60 years old or people that are below 50 years old. One way that one commentator talked about it was, if you are still at an age where you can rear children, you would be in the younger crowd. And if you still have children at home, you would be in the younger crowd also. So, you can go to the commentators and talk to them about ages. But somewhere in that 50 to 60 year old category. Now, Paul, he starts with the men. He starts with the older men. And Titus is to teach these older men, and he has some particular things that are important for the older men to consider. They are to be temperate. They are to be against excess. Things like consumerism, spending all your time on social media, spending all your time on Facebook Marketplace, all of these things, we need to be temperate with. We're talking about overindulgence in any part of life. The older men are called to be temperate. Older men are called to be worthy of respect, living blameless lives, no hypocritical living, no saying one thing and doing another. Something that Paul sees the older men need to pay attention to. The next one is self-control. The older men need to be self-controlled. When it comes to vices, older men need to stay away. When it comes to looking at things on the internet that they should really not be looking at, the older men are called to stay away. When it comes to things like anger and rash decisions, older men are supposed to stay away from those kinds of things. And when it comes to impulsiveness, older men are also called to stay away from those things. Furthermore, the older men are called to be sound in faith. Sound in faith. They're to be at a place in their life when it comes to doctrine that they will not be swayed by the allure of false teaching. False teacher comes into town. False teacher comes up on a social media post or a short, or even if you turn the television on and you see some false teaching, the older men are to be sound in faith and not be swayed by those things, getting blown one way or another by all kinds of false doctrines, but rather they are to be sound in faith, anchored in theology and practice. They are also, alongside being anchored in theology and practice and sound in faith, they are to be anchored in love of others. Anchored in love of others. Being mindful of others. Concerned for others. Move to action out of their love for others. Finally, they are called to endurance. Endurance. To be steadfast. To be unmovable in a good way, not in a bad way. Gaining and gaining in the Lord each day. The call for endurance for the older men. Serious about life and what it's really about. Having cut away all the things that don't really have value. Now, there's a giant hike that I find interesting, but it is not on my bucket list. Out east in the Appalachian Mountain Range, there is a trail. It's known as the Appalachian Trail. And there are people, many people, that set out every year to hike the entire Appalachian Trail. It starts in Georgia and goes to Maine. Do you imagine? Hiking from Georgia to Maine. It's over 2,000 miles of hiking. And for most people, it takes 5 to 7 months. So they got to get there in the spring, and they're going to be leaving in the fall when they get to Maine. Unless they do it the other way around. Anyway, when a hiker starts, and this is notorious on the trail, when a hiker starts out, you know, they get all the gear. They get all the cool stuff. You know, they go to REI or Scheels or one of these stores that has the top of the line hiking gear. Because these people, they're carrying their sleeping bag and their sleeping mat, and they carry their tent, and they have to get the right boots and the right socks and the right undergarments and the right shirts and the right shorts and get all the stuff just right, because they're going to be hiking for a very long time. And they want to have the best setup that they can have. Well, what happens, and this is notorious on this trail, what happens along the way is people figure out what they use and what they don't use. They find out what things are of value and what things really didn't have the value that they thought they did. So along the way, they discard with much of what they bring at first. They start out with a lot, and they discard along the way so that they end up having the lightest weight pack possible and the best setup possible for success, so they can make it all the way to the end of this trail without giving up. That's the kind of call we're talking about here. when it comes to the older men, and I'll include the older women in this one too. You guys have had time to figure out what really is of value and what isn't, and you've had the opportunity to discard those things in life that are of no value. Those are the kinds of things that you're going to be mentoring and modeling to others. Paul continues, "Likewise, for the older women, there are particular things for them to consider also." Some things for the older women. The older women are to be reverent in the way that they live. Reverent in the way that they live. So that this is talking about behavior and demeanor in both public and private all of the time. Solidly focused on the Lord and being reverent in the way that they live. Second one is not slanderers. Not slanderers. This is taming the tongue. This is an important thing for older women. Watching what they say. Watching what they say. Both in public and private. This is building people up rather than tearing people down. And this is walking away from gossip. You know what I heard? Putting away gossip, putting away fault finding, you know, making sure that you're the champion of pointing out what everybody else is doing wrong. So that's got to go. Fault finding, that's got to come to an end. Constant criticism. This is another thing that needs to come to an end. No nitpicking everything that you don't like. It's another issue. When it comes to taming the tongue, we're talking about evil talk. Continuing on, not addicted to much wine. Drunkenness is an issue today, and we can include everybody of all ages in this one, I think. Just like back in Paul's day, drunkenness is an issue today also. Next one, teaching what is good. I think of some of the wonderful, godly, older women that were around when I was coming into faith. I can think of a couple that stick out in my mind. I don't remember them saying much to me, but they definitely modeled what it meant to be godly women of faith. I think of Margaret Stone, and I think of Connie Hogeveen. Two godly older women at the church where I did or had a lot of growth in Jesus. And they showed the way in their life. They showed the way in their speech, in their actions, in their marriages, in holiness. I could see it. They did well. Now, the next section is younger women. And this one's interesting because all of the other ones, Paul is urging Titus to teach. You know, teach the older men. Teach the older women. Teach the younger men. But when it comes to the younger women, there's a different direction. I think this is interesting. It says that when it comes to training younger women, it is the task of the older women. It's the older women who are called for that particular task. And I think that's because the older women have walked that walk and are able to help lead the way. What are some of the different pictures there that the older women are to teach the younger women? They are to teach them how to love their husbands and children if the young women are called to that and have that. To love their husbands and children. You know, today, in our culture, there is a complete breakdown of the family. Complete breakdown. We live in the age of abortion and in the age of divorce. And more in our society is this idea that this whole family thing is a bad idea. We have a different message than that in the church. We think that the family is a crucial component. Like I said, this is a countercultural message. It's you know, the older women are to help train the younger women to have affectionate, strong marriages. Affectionate, strong marriages where there is protection and promotion of children, and there is sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. Like I said, remember, this is the older women walking the walk, teaching the younger, certainly not in a heavy-handed way, but in a godly way. Some of the other things that they are to teach is to be self-controlled. Some of these things are repeats, right? They're to teach the younger women to be self-controlled, to put away unholy impulses and tendencies. You know, you think of things like being overly focused on outward appearance. This would probably be in that category. You know, maybe things like, I don't know, you see this every once in a while. People that are completely unhappy about absolutely everything. This is an area where the older women can help the younger women. And certainly, we can think about things like social media and addiction, all of those kinds of things. So teaching the younger women to be self-controlled. Also, purity. This is, fidelity to your spouse. And like I said, with many of these, they can be applied across the board to all ages. Paul just happens to focus on some particular things for some particular groups here. Maybe someday up in heaven you want to talk to Paul about that. Why these? And I'm being an apostle of Jesus Christ, I'm sure that he has some really good reasons for these things. Next one, busy at home. Busy at home. I see this as taking responsibility for managing the household well. However you find yourself, whether you are a full-time homemaker, whether you are a nurse or a teacher or whatever it is, you're one of the calls of a younger Christian woman is to take responsibility managing the household well, making that a priority if she has children and is married. And I don't see this as, the husband sitting on the lazy boy while wife is doing all the dishes. I see this as, husband and wife in partnership together. My wife does take more of a lion's share than I do of some of the household things. And I do my best to try to do well with that, to be a great partner. But things would fall apart without my wife. In fact, if my wife were suddenly in a terrible accident or something that left her unable to help out with the household in that way, we would have some real struggles for sure. Paul continues. He also asks the older women to teach the younger women to be kind. So not controlling, not overbearing, got to have it my way, overly harsh, sharp, these kinds of things. The invitation here is for the young women and the older women and the older men to walk the walk for real so that no one has a bad word about the Word of God. All right, we're moving on to the next one. Similarly, the young men need training too. The young men need training too. Young men have some tendencies that are damaging to the Word of God and to the faith. One of those is that young men are volatile, have a tendency to be explosive. I dealt with this as a young man, explosive anger. I would get so mad, just boom, just snap of the finger, and I go from here all the way up to here. You guys are like, I've never seen that. And I'm like, no, you haven't, because I have Jesus. And he's guiding me through the Spirit to drop those kinds of things. So being volatile, young men are impulsive. Do it. We got to do it now. It's got to happen right now. Let's do it. Young men have a tendency to be arrogant and think that they know it all. When I think about the relationship that I had with my mother as a teenager, she might be listening right now, and she could totally confirm this for you, but I thought that I knew it all about absolutely everything. It didn't matter what. I had a quick and snappy comeback for absolutely everything that my mom ever said at all times. Knowing all of these things, young men are called to have, again, be self-controlled. Self-controlled. You know, there's a movie that I watched when I was a kid, and the premise always kind of struck me the wrong way. It was a funny movie, but there was something about it that just didn't hit right, and I didn't know why. I know why now, but it's a movie called Coming to America. It stars Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall, and in this movie, the main character is a prince from Africa, and his parents send him to America so that he can sow his wild oats. He can do some wild living in America for a while, get it out of his system, so that he can come back home and marry the woman that was arranged for him to marry, so that they would be king and queen together. So this whole story is about, the premise of it is that he's heading to America for a time of wild living, get it out of his system, so that he can settle down for the marriage that he was called to. And what we would have to say today in the church is that there is no value in this idea. There is no value in this idea. Society would tell us that living a wild life in your late teens and early 20s is a good idea. Get it out of your system. Go live life and then settle down later. It's a bad idea. It's a broken idea. The younger men are to be self-controlled. Exercising control over life, sexuality, finances, all of life. And like I said, they do need an example to be set, sitting at the feet of older, mature men, so that they learn to do what is good. Continuing on, they are called to integrity. So this is being upright in character. Seriousness, that they're to flee from foolishness. Soundness of speech, this would be thinking before you speak and watching your words. Again, so that nothing bad can be said about the Christians that people encounter in day-to-day living. Now, finally, the last group that Paul deals with is slaves. Now, we believe that slavery is wrong. In this day and age, people were slaves. It's something that they had to deal with. Now, we don't see any judgment here on slavery. There certainly could be judgment on slavery. But what Paul here is, how do Christian slaves deal with life? What is their calling? How are they to live despite having to deal with this? Now, we don't have slavery here in America. So, you know, what does this have to do with us, this particular thing? Well, we could think about this in regards of being employees and having employers. So employees, employers. And we can think about some of these principles when it comes to having someone over us, having a boss, having an owner that has authority or say. It's about our attitudes. And it would be about the slave's attitude also. They are to be pleasing. How? Through hard work. Be pleasing through hard work. Not talking back, trying to seek their own way. Not stealing or skimming off the top. and not lazy, again, but hardworking, demonstrating to the boss and to coworkers a mature Christian life so that they see Jesus. What we're talking about here is evidence that you are a sinner being turned into a saint. That's the picture for us in all of our positions of life, where we're at, where we work. We are to give evidence that we are sinners who are being transformed into saints. That's the picture. That you can be trusted and that our Savior is attractive. Again, that's our goal. That's our goal, to be a place that makes disciples. All ages, both genders, slave and free, making disciples by our transformed lives. This section wraps up by reminding us that we have salvation in Jesus. And we are called to unite together in a healthy way, saying no to ungodliness and worldly passions, but rather living self-controlled, upright, godly lives right now as we wait for the blessed hope of our coming Savior, what John sung about. Jesus is coming again. While we wait, we have a calling. And for our particular place, we are called to make disciples by seeking God and serving others. That's our picture. All of this because Jesus gave himself up on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that all of us, with faith and trust and who respond to him, will have life abundantly. We are redeemed, so we are called to be eager to do what is good, to put our differences aside, and like I said, make disciples by seeking God and serving others. Let us join together in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that you have put us on the right track. Lord, you have populated this church with infants all the way up to 100 years old. We have the full range of ages here, and we can live into the calling here that we see from the Apostle Paul to Pastor Timothy, or to Pastor Titus. Lord, we ask for your continued help. Lord, give us guidance in all of these things, in Jesus' name, amen.